Isaiah begins this chapter with the question, who has believed our report? And that question gets you thinking about how you and why you would believe anyone about anything ever at all. Well, the way that you learn to trust someone, the way that you learn to believe someone when they tell you something, is when they have shown you that they are trustworthy. The way that you learn to trust someone is when they have shown themselves to do the things that they promised they would do. When you first meet a stranger, you really have no reason to trust them, and you would rightfully be skeptical of them. You've probably been burned enough times in your life to know that people are not always trustworthy. But as you get to know someone, if, for instance, you plan to meet someone at a certain time in a certain place, and then they show up, that's one mark towards their trustworthiness, or their faithfulness, we could say. And then if you agree with them on some sort of arrangement, business or otherwise, and they fulfill their end of the bargain, then they are, again, more trustworthy than they were before. And as time goes on, and as you get to know them, and you get to know their character, then you get to really see and really know and truly believe that they are trustworthy, and that when they give you a report, then you can believe what they said. So we can say this: trust, which is really the same thing as faith, it is elicited from someone. That is, it is pulled out of someone's heart and someone's mind. You will naturally come to trust someone when they do what they said they would do. And it is all dependent on that happening. I, for instance, consider myself a generally trustworthy person. I do have a little bit of a bad habit of not checking my calendar carefully enough when I schedule new things, and so sometimes I double book myself. Some of you sitting in these chairs have probably experienced that from me a number of times. We won't talk about how many elders' meetings that's happened to. You can ask one of the elders if you really want to know. So I'm not perfectly trustworthy. In fact, perfect trustworthiness is very hard to find, because we all make mistakes now and then. The same is not true for the servant of the Lord that Isaiah describes. He is and will prove himself to be perfectly, utterly trustworthy. No matter what, he will be there. He will do what he said. Last week we saw promises of Jesus all over in Isaiah 40. And that is going to continue in this whole last half of the book of Isaiah. Chapters 42 through 55 especially are all about Jesus. And the way that Isaiah is going to describe Jesus, particularly in these chapters, in this kind of latter half of the book, is by this name that the Lord gives him in prophecy, the servant of the Lord. So when you're reading along in the book of Isaiah this Lent, you can look for that phrase, the servant of the Lord, or the suffering servant, or the Lord's faithful servant, called all of those things. He's introduced for us in chapter 42. I'll read it for you. Here is my servant, the Lord says, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. You can already see it there in that prophecy in 42. If you're paying close attention, how Jesus fulfills what Isaiah prophesied, how the Lord does what the Lord says he will do. Notice the messianic work there, and remember back to Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3. God the Father will speak these very similar words to Isaiah 42 in Matthew 3 when his voice comes down from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," and at the same time the Spirit of the Lord is descending on him like a dove. "Here is my servant, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I put my spirit on him." The point is this, that the life of Jesus fulfills everything that Isaiah prophesies about the life of Jesus. And that pattern is going to go on and on in these, what they're called, servant songs. There's four of them, the servant songs in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53 in particular, which we read tonight, is the last of these servant songs. And you can see the same pattern happening again here. Consider verse 2. "He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And then consider, you can consider many things. Consider the birth of Jesus when there is a lowly babe lying in a feeding trough for animals. No form or comeliness. Consider what Paul says about that Jesus in Philippians 2. "Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of men, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross." What Isaiah said about him, he fulfilled. He shows himself to be trustworthy. Consider again verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." Rejected. Remember that story about Peter, who in the garden could not even keep his eyes open for the Lord. He hid his face, as it were, from him. And that same Peter who later on in the courtyard would despise and reject his Lord, even rejecting ever knowing him. Despised and rejected, hidden from the face. Again, what Isaiah says, trustworthy. And finally, consider verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And consider Jesus in the high priest's court after his arrest, and the high priest is questioning him and bringing forth witnesses, uttering blasphemy against the Lord. And the high priest gets up and says, "Aren't you going to say anything to these people?" And he remains silent. He opened not his mouth. And as the Roman soldiers whipped him and struck him and led him to the cross, he, like a lamb before its shearers, was silent, led to the slaughter. The way that you learn to trust someone is by them doing the things that they have promised to do. And the Lord promised through his servant Isaiah that the servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, would go through all of these things, that he would be baptized like he was, that he would come in humility like he did, that he would be rejected like he was, and that he would be silent as he was. And there are more prophecies. I can continue to list them off. We could go through even more and more of these. But the point is this: Jesus is trustworthy, and the Lord's words through the prophet are also trustworthy. It could not be clearer that this servant is the messianic, the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And so what does that all mean? Other than it's pretty amazing that even written 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah could have prophesied such things. It means that you should believe Jesus, and that you should believe because he has shown himself to you to be trustworthy, the words of the prophet Isaiah, truly the words of Jesus himself in some ways. So what else does Isaiah say that you should believe? What else is true, perfectly true, never a lie, about this servant in Isaiah 53? Well, let's consider a few more verses, but I want you to keep in mind this very simple fact that these words are faithful, that these words are trustworthy. You can hang your hat on them. You can hang, in fact, your very life on them. Consider verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. We have been singing that over and over again this Lent, because it's so true. That is what the cross looks like to us. When we esteem him on that cross, we look at him and we see defeat, death, even hopelessness. But dear saints, notice what Isaiah says here, that it is on that very tree that looks like one thing but is in fact another. It is on that very tree that he has borne your griefs. For any loss of a loved one that you have gone through in life, for any grief and pain that you have felt over death in life, by Jesus' very death, he has picked that grief up for you and put it on himself. And for any sorrow that you have felt in life, whatever pain of loss, whatever failures you've been through, whatever relationships broken, whatever depression deep within, he has picked up that yoke. He has put all of that into his backpack and put it on and climbed up onto that tree with it. Picked up your burden. Picked up everything for you and carried it to that tree. And this is a trustworthy saying. And consider verse 5. Wounded for our transgressions he was, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. For it is also at that ugly and wretched cross where Jesus willingly not only took up your burdens, but also took on the punishment for your sins. The nails that drove through his hands and feet were your transgressions against his holy law. The fists that struck and bruised him were for your iniquities of failing to love God and love your neighbor as you should. And the price that had to be paid so that you could have peace with God at last were those bloody stripes whipped across his back. This is a trustworthy saying. And finally, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all were like sheep, wandering away from the flock, not knowing where we should go. I can attest to this as a shepherd of various kinds, some of you know. But that's the nature of corruption of sin. As the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord you love. We, everyone, Isaiah says, has tried to deny the Lord, to make for ourselves a God out of ourselves, instead of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit turning the Trinity into me, myself, and I. And for that wandering, for that idolatry, what did we deserve but to be the lamb, the lost sheep, led to the slaughter? But instead, God chose a different lamb, his own lamb, his perfect lamb, to be the scapegoat for your sins. He chose the spotless to replace the imperfect and the corrupt. And the Lord laid on that lamb, that perfect and spotless lamb, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Your life has been saved by his. Through his work on that cross, you have hope. You have peace, and you have everlasting life. This is a trustworthy saying. Dear saints, you can believe all of this. The way that you learn to trust someone is by them doing the things that they have promised to do. Jesus promised to go to the cross. The Lord promised from the beginning that he would bring you back. The Lord promised from the beginning that he would crush the serpent's head. The Lord promised from the beginning that he would forgive your sins. He promised from the beginning that he would raise you up and save you and give you life and hope and peace. And through his faithful servant of the Lord, through his servant, our servant, Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, there can be no doubt. His words are true. He is trustworthy. He has done what he said he will do. Let there be no doubt among us. To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.